tribe of Judah became the Lamb of God on your behalf so that you can become a child of God. This is the good news. This is the one who's worthy of your worship.
Wow, let's just stay standing. Let's just give Jesus a hand. Come on. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. You're why we're here this morning. Lift your hands in the air. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I ask that everyone would receive an impartation of grace this morning. Father, our eyes would be open, our hearts would be open, our eyes would be open to receive your word. God, I ask that everyone would leave here with something that they're going to take home this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo! Well, I'm excited. You know, there was a time where I took a preaching class and I only got one feedback, and it was that I paced too much. So I wore heels today so I wouldn't pace so much. No, I'm just kidding. it'll probably keep me from pacing too much. Oh gosh. Well, I'm so honored to be able to have the privilege to bring you a word this morning. I thank Apostle Tom and Katie for allowing me to preach this morning, because like Mike Signorelli said last week, that they paid a price to have this altar, this stage right here, and I don't take it lightly. So buckle your seatbelts. We're going to go today. So we've been in this series called Spiritual Warfare. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to be in part three. So just to recap, part one, Apostle Tom, a couple weeks back, it's been a while, but he was talking about how to know you're under spiritual attack. What are some signs and symptoms? Because not everything is natural. In fact, everything starts, as Pastor Jared said a couple weeks back, everything has its origin in the unseen realm. So we don't fight our enemies in the natural. We fight in the spirit. So some signs and some symptoms, hey, you might be under spiritual attack, is tiredness, fatigue, chronic sickness, infirmity, things like this. You might be under a spiritual attack. You're having a hard time waking up in the morning. You're wanting to not serve the house of God. You're not wanting to be in community. These are all signs and symptoms that, hey, something might be pulling you away. Something might be trying to get you to not be a part of what God wants to do. Something's trying to rob your authority. Something's trying to dishearten you, discourage you, disillusion you. Those are all symptoms of, hey, there's something at work here that's not of the Lord. And then part two, Pastor Jared broke down, hey, this battle, it's not with flesh and blood. Where's the battle at? It's in the unseen realm. It's in our heart. And so Pastor George this morning did a great job of setting me up. I'm so thankful. Thank you so much. He talked about our original mandate as sons and daughters of the Most High God. The original mandate was go, take dominion, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth. That was our original mandate from God. But as we know, and as we heard this morning, a curse entered the land and caused chaos, caused sin, caused darkness, caused evil in the earth. So where am I going with this? All right. We're in the army of God, as Pastor George said this morning. Thank you. So I'm going to read some scriptures. I'm going to set us up because we're going to go on a journey this morning. I want to give you practical tips. So we know who's our enemy. We know where the battle is. But now I want to teach you some practical tips. How do I apply these things? How do I war? What are some of the main things that I need to do in my life to guard myself from the enemy in my life? Amen? Okay. So 1 John 3:8 says this, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Come on, Jesus. So when we're born again, Jesus becomes our purpose, our why we're alive. And his mandate was destroy the works of the devil. So Adam and Eve, this curse is reigning, sin is reigning. Jesus comes to redeem mankind, and his purpose was to destroy the works of the devil. Now, if you're a child of God, what's our mandate? Destroy the works of the devil. Amen. So John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall also do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Are there any believers in here this morning? Come on. Yeah. Mark 16:17-18, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Come on. Are you a believer this morning? Now, I don't know about you. I didn't grow up in a church that was casting out devils at the prayer line, speaking in tongues, laying hands on the sick, and they would recover. I didn't see that. But I want to encourage you, because if we let what we don't see determine what we do see, we won't grow in the Lord. If you allow your experience to determine what truth is, you won't see the evidence in your life. You have to let God's word determine what's true until you see the results, until you see it. Amen? Come on, somebody. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, so we have an enemy. I'm referring to my notes here because I could go off track and I don't want to do that this morning. Okay, so practical tips. We heard the mandate, the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? It's inside. Amen. So, Apostle Tom did a series a while back on the kingdom, king's domain. What is the kingdom of God? I encourage you, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you probably need to go back and listen to that, because it's a big cornerstone of this house. So Jesus says in Luke 17:21, nor will they say, see here, see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. And then we see in Ezekiel 36:26, it's prophesied that I will give you, who's I, God, will give you a new heart and put a spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So when we're born again, I want to break this down for a moment. When we're born again, your spirit is regenerated. Boom, your spirit's alive. You're alive in Christ. And then also what happens is God gives you a heart of flesh. So you had a heart of stone. When we were born into this world, we were given a heart of stone, that sin nature. But then when we're born again, Jesus gives us a brand new heart. So here is, I don't know if this is point one, but I would write this down, is that you have a brand new heart, and it is your mandate to guard your heart. Because Proverbs, come on, Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the wellsprings of life. Everything, the essence of who you are, everything that makes you you, that makes God him within you, through you, comes out of your heart. So if your heart is sick, if your heart is bad, what's going to come out of you? Not good things, okay? So you can't protect what you don't value, and you can't value what you don't appreciate. So this is why we're going to go on a journey of appreciating what our heart has to give us this morning, because where does Jesus live? In our hearts. So I would say that that's pretty valuable. Amen. If the Son of God came to dwell inside your heart, I would say that that's worth protecting. Amen? Amen. So if the devil can get access to your heart, he can injure you and your walk with Christ, sabotaging your future and destiny in God. It can derail the plans God has for your life and keep you from moving forward in him. He's trying to get you to give up and quit. This is why these practical steps I'm going to give you today are so important, because the devil wants to wear you out, burn you out, get you discouraged, get you disillusioned, wants you to believe lies. Why? Because like Pastor George was saying this morning, he's given you authority. Like the Bible says that he gave you the power to destroy the works of the devil on earth. You came to be a part of that mandate that God has given us. Amen? So we guard our heart because it's extremely valuable, and you don't guard worthless things. So let me give you an example of this. When you put your trash out during the week, do you guard it? No, because it's trash. You don't guard worthless things. You only guard the things that are of value, okay? Amen. Your heart is where your passions live, where your desires live. If you're not passionate about anything, if you don't desire the more of God, if you're not desiring things for your future, your family, chances are you may be disillusioned by the enemy, and that could be fingerprints of his works in your life. The heart is the source of everything we do as believers. Our heart overflows in our thoughts, words, and actions. So I'm going to use another analogy of a spring. So this is where water flows to the surface from the earth, from deep under the ground. Then it accumulates in pools or runs off into creeks and streams. If you plug up the spring, you stop the flow of water. If you poison the water, the flow becomes toxic. In either situation, you threaten life downstream. Everything depends on the condition of the spring. Likewise, if your heart is unhealthy, it has an impact on everything else. It threatens your family, your friends, your ministry, your career, and anything, your legacy. It is therefore imperative that we guard it. We guard our heart because it is constantly under attack. We have an enemy who is bent on our destruction. I'm going to use this point in, so before we became believers, how much resistance did you have in your life? Probably not a whole lot. I only started experiencing resistance in my life till I chose to follow Jesus, and then all hell breaks loose. That's because God has pulled you out of darkness, placed you into light, and now you're going the opposite direction of the devil. The devil's going that way, we're going this way. So you've, in between is that tension. It's called, maybe you've heard this phrase, going against the grain. Yeah, you don't want to be going that way. You want to be going this way. Amen? Come on. So the devil opposes anything that's aligned with him, including us. The devil hates Jesus. Where does Jesus live? In us. So don't be disillusioned by his schemes, okay? All right, six spiritual disciplines to help guard your heart in the day of battle. We're talking about spiritual warfare. I'm going to tie how all of this works together in spiritual warfare, because this is the most valuable piece of us as believers. And I'm thirsty. When I talk a lot, your mouth gets dry. It just happens. Oh, Jesus. Are you guys getting anything out of this right now? Come on. Okay. Practical steps. Step number one. Practice stillness and reflection. These are called practical because you're going to be able to take these, and tomorrow morning, you're going to be able to do these things. So this looks like finding time set apart for God. It doesn't have to be, you know, in some seasons of my life, I was like, 4 hours with the Lord felt like a reasonable amount of time. But now I have a one-year-old, I'm married, working, it looks a lot different. If I get 20 minutes, that feels like 4 hours. So I'm just saying that it can be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Do something daily to get quiet, reflect with the Lord so that you can hear his voice. Apostle Tom said in his message a couple of weeks ago, he's like, the voice of God is the essence of life. If you're not hearing from the Lord daily, you're not getting life. You're not getting your daily bread. He says, give us this day our daily bread. We need it every day. If you don't eat, Okay, come on. Are you guys following? If you don't eat every day, that's going to be a problem in the future. So we should be taking our spiritual life just as important as our natural life. And if we're not eating the Word of God daily, we're going to look anemic. We're going to look skinny in the spirit. How easy is it to become vulnerable to the schemes of the devil when we haven't been eating the Word of God, when we haven't been feasting on His presence? In the spirit, it's like, and you're like down. It doesn't take that much for you to get knocked down by the enemy if you haven't been eating the Word of God every day, if you haven't been feasting on His presence every day. Amen? So this also looks like quietness. So Jesus, we see, He pulled away when people, mass people were following Him. Thousands and thousands of people were following Him. He still woke up early and pulled away from everything and got alone to be with the Father. So Jesus doesn't ask us to do something that He Himself didn't do. Amen? Come on. All right. First one, stillness, quietness, get alone with the Lord. Number two, physical rest. This is important. Physical rest is important. It's even built into our own physiology. We sleep for a third of the day. That's a natural thing that God gave us for our bodies to heal, for our bodies to reset. So it's more than just sleep. It's also resting, you know, one day out of the week. A Sabbath, oftentimes in the Bible, we see it over and over, is the Israelites honoring the Sabbath. God took it very seriously. Schedule a vacation. I said these are practical tips because we can all apply these things. I know there's some people who haven't taken a vacation in a really long time and they're feeling that weariness of soul. And a couple weeks back, Apostle Tom was talking about sometimes we just need a nap. You know, it's not that you're under spiritual attack, it's that you're exhausted and you need a nap so we can fight well. Amen? All right. So number two, practicing physical rest. Number three, practicing creativity. What does this have to do with anything? Well, a lot of research shows when you're being creative, so it doesn't necessarily mean like painting or drawing, although it could mean that. When you're recreating something, it's like it's resetting you back to the present. So it could be cooking, it could be playing an instrument, it could be fishing, working on a car, doing something that's recreating life. Amen? All right, number three, practicing creativity. This could also look like exercise, okay? This is a really important part of maintaining our lives and spiritual health. Number four, building relationships with people. So these next three, I'm probably gonna camp out on for a little bit longer because they all kind of tie in together. So building relationships with people, what does this have to do with spiritual warfare and guarding our heart? Well, the foundation of reality is relational. We see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They were in relationship, perfect unity together. So the benefits of relationships, they bring strength and encouragement to your heart if you have the right relationships, okay? So we want to form healthy relationships in the body of Christ. They bring accountability to your life and you can learn a lot. Some of the hindrances to building relationships are maybe the way we were brought up. We have some wounds, we have some traumas, we have some things we need to get healed of. And praise God, you're in Sozo, House of the Lord, so we can provide that ministry for you. So relationships, they're an investment. They take time. You don't, if you're married, it's like you don't just get married the next day after you meet someone. It takes time to build that relationship, you know? Relationships with your kids, relationships with friends you've known for a long time. It takes time. It takes intentionality. They don't just happen overnight. But if you build those strong foundational relationships, they'll actually bring strength to you. They'll actually encourage you. They'll actually build you up. And why is this important? important because you're going to go through things in life if you haven't already at this point. You're going to go through hard things. You're going to go through traumatic experiences. You're going to go through things, trials, tribulations, that you're going to need the body of Christ for. You're going to need deep friendships who can actually help you walk through things. So we can't do this life alone. That's why community is so important. That's why house churches are so important. That's why the school ministry is so important, because we're going to go through things as people. We're going to go through life together. So it's important that we have this within us. So practical tip number four, build relationships with people. Number five, assume the best of others and take your thoughts captive. So I hear a lot of amens out there. So what does this have to do with spiritual warfare? Well, let's say a thought comes across your path like this. Maybe a family member misses your call and you believe that they're screening your calls and they don't have time for you. Or maybe this one, your boss promotes a coworker and you're convinced that they only got promoted because he likes him more. Or a friend cancels coffee with you and you're convinced that they take your time for granted. They don't care about you. Okay, so we have two options here. We can say, you can agree with that thought in that moment, like, yeah, they don't care about me. They're just blowing me off. They don't value me. Or you can assume the best. What does assuming the best look like? Well, a family member misses your call and you think, oh man, they must be really busy. You know, they do have three kids. You know, they're probably running their kids to soccer practice. They're probably just going, man, I'll try calling them again later. You hear the practicalness of this message, okay? How about a friend cancels coffee with you? Oh man, I know they've been having a really hard time at work. Man, I bet they're just doing the best that they can and they couldn't make it this time, but I bet next week, maybe sometime soon, they'll be able to get coffee. Man, I really miss them. And maybe you send them an encouraging text. Do you see how assuming the motive or someone's intentions can be playing right into the devil's hands right there? It's very important that we're taking our thoughts captive. This is what the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians. Take every thought captive and submit it to the obedience of Christ. That means we're taking these high and lofty things. It could come just so fast, just thought, boom, and you have a choice. Am I going to assume the best about this person? Or am I going to agree with the enemy, what the enemy's saying right now about them? I promise you, you will be way happier if you assume the best about people. And it doesn't cost us anything to assume the best about other people. Amen? All right, lastly, practical tip number six. Practicing forgiveness and inner healing from past hurts. Now, I could spend a whole lot of time on this one, but I'll keep it brief as I can. So, practicing forgiveness. Now, what does this have to do with spiritual warfare? Everything. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, I'm just going to say this. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person that you're mad at, you're offended with, to die. It's poisoning you, not them. Okay? So like we talked about earlier, a spring, if you poison the water, the flow becomes toxic. And then in this analogy, your heart is where the spring of life comes from. And unforgiveness will poison your stream. Just as a physical wound becomes infected if left unattended, so an emotional wound can become contaminated. Maybe you've felt these feelings before with unforgiveness. Resentment, bitterness, revenge. Those things can all poison your heart if left without forgiveness. Forgiveness is the key. So what is unforgiveness? It's a state of emotional and mental distress that results from a delayed response in forgiving an offender. Notice I said a delayed response, meaning you sit there and you ponder it and you ponder it. You get more mad, you get more angry, you get more frustrated, you get more offended, more and more and more and more and more until you're hurting and you're seeing the lens of your life through your pain, your hurt, your discomfort, and it's all about you, and now you're a victim. Anyone been there before? Come on. Okay. Maybe it's just me. This is if this is for me, okay, Lord, I receive it. So, okay, unforgiveness, characterized. I'm saying these things because sometimes we might think that there isn't any unforgiveness in our life. And until those character traits are revealed, then it's like, oh, okay, I need that. I need this message. I need to forgive someone. I need forgiveness. So indignation, bitterness, a demand for punishment or restitution, emotional stress, feelings of depression, fear, insecurity, hatred, anxiety. Any of these sound familiar? To me, they also sound like demons, okay? We're in a house that preaches this. But the key to be released from these tormentors is forgiveness. So some people, this is what this has to do with spiritual warfare. Some of us, we have all these things. Bitterness, anger, feelings of depression, fear, insecurity, hatred, anxiety. Okay, we have those things, and we think we're under attack of the enemy. No. No, we invited those things when we chose not to forgive. And the Bible says that until we forgive, those tormentors will be allowed in our life. So it isn't a spiritual attack, it's you need to forgive someone. Are you guys following? Okay, I just want to make sure. Okay, so it creates a domino effect that negatively impacts every part of us. So it affects our emotions, our thoughts, our behavior, our body, our soul, our spirit, our relationships. This is a poison. This is one of the biggest poisons we see in the body of Christ, especially in the work that we do. It influences everything, which is why we have to deal with it quickly. A delayed response is not good because that's when it festers. It just takes up root in our heart and we want to pull those things out. So I want to say this. Time does not heal unforgiveness. In fact, time further worsens and infects the emotional toll of pain from unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is like carrying a huge weight around. The longer we carry a grudge, the heavier the burden becomes. In the absence of a timely response, the roots of unforgiveness only go deeper, further entangling us. In sum, feeding on unforgiveness is toxic. It takes up a lot of mental space. So I'm just honing this one in because I think that a lot of spiritual warfare in people's lives, this is the root of what's not being taken care of. And there is actually times where you need to rise up, you need to take your authority and rebuke the devil off your life and get deliverance. But also, this right here, if we do not take care of our heart, if we don't root out the bitterness, if we don't root out the anger, the hatred, the unforgiveness, that thing is causing, the devil doesn't even have to touch you because you've allowed this thing to fester in your heart. So I'm just trying to help us here. So I just love this because even in like medical journals, research, when I was just studying up on this topic, I'm like, even the medical professionals have figured this out. They've now incorporated forgiveness into their counseling with cancer patients because they see a tie. Come on, like non-believers, people who don't know Christ are getting this. They're like, oh, wow, we see it. We see these ties right here that people who have really, like, they're holding grudges. They have things in their heart that they haven't forgiven people from in the past is linked to cancer. Oh, my gosh. This is crazy. This is research is showing this. It's crazy. It affects your physical body. Research has shown that unforgiveness is connected to high blood pressure, weaken immune systems, reduce sleep, chronic pain, cardiovascular issues. And those are like five things Apostle Tom mentioned a couple weeks ago that you could be under spiritual attack. And the root is in unforgiveness. It's crazy. So, what I don't want to do is dismiss people's pain and trauma and real things that have happened to you that aren't good. That's not what I want to do. But what I do want to do is inspire you to work with the Lord, to get inner healing, to get the freedom that you need in your life, to root these things out, because you have a future, you have a destiny. God said to take dominion over the earth. If you're not taking dominion over your life, your family, your finances, hey, let's just look inward. Let's see what's going on in there, amen? Okay, Jesus. All right, well, I had a lot of scriptures I wanted to share with you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Shorababa. All right. Matthew 18, 21 to 22. I'm just going to read a couple of these. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? How many of you seven times? That's a lot. Like, all right, they just did the same thing for the seventh time. Like, I'm pretty much done. Okay, well, Jesus said unto him, I did not say to you seven times, but up to 77 times. So come on, Jesus is a great forgiver. How many of you guys have been forgiven by Jesus? How many of you have all your sins wiped away? Come on. Woo! All right. Well, Matthew 5, 23 to 24. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come offer your gift. But I want to point out something. It didn't say there, if you have something against your brother. What does it say? It says, if your brother has something against you, meaning you might not have done anything wrong, but you know that that person has something towards you. Do you see how that, do you see the difference that I'm trying to say? So that means that if you're like worshiping and you're like, man, that person's mad at me for doing that, but you might have actually not done anything wrong to them. It still says to go low, humble yourself, go make it right with them for their sake, and come back to the altar, worship the Lord. So we need to root up the seeds of bitterness and hatred in our life, because they'll grow roots in our heart if we don't deal with them quickly. And so let's do that. Oh, thank you, Lord. So unforgiveness chokes out and poisons our life, and it's a symptom even why your prayers might not be getting answers. Yeah, I said that. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So forgiveness heals you, opens the heavens so that the Father can hear your prayers and forgive you. So if you need forgiveness but have unforgiveness in your heart, then the Lord isn't forgiving you. So you gotta forgive so you can be forgiven so that God will hear your prayers. Amen? So forgiveness is the key. So if you're harboring unforgiveness, that is only a symptom that you've been deeply hurt, which is what I was wanting to say earlier, is that it's not dismissing that you haven't been hurt. It is important to give your heart a voice and to deal with the traumatic things in your life. But if we don't deal with those things, then you're gonna be seeing your life through your pain, through your trauma, through your hurt, and you're not gonna be able to overcome that which God wants to help you overcome, amen? Forgiveness disconnects us from bondage and the enemy's work in our life. Also heals our bodies, which is amazing. And then lastly, to tie that up is to receive inner healing. So sometimes we have unforgiveness in our heart, but we're not actually able to forgive. Or maybe you've done one of these prayers, Lord, I forgive him, and then you go and keep worshiping. I forgive him, Lord, I forgive him, I forgive him. But the part of your heart that's actually wounded isn't getting healed up until this is what inner healing does, where you present Jesus, Jesus comes, heals that part of your heart, then that part of your heart is then able to forgive that offender. Amen? So that's why inner healing goes with forgiveness, because oftentimes, you know, and I've been guilty of this too in my walk with the Lord, where you're like, I forgive him, because you just want peace with God. That's all you're trying to do. Your heart's good. You've been born again. Your heart is for God. So you're just trying to do the right thing, but that root isn't getting dealt with. So it's just like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet hole. You're just like putting a Band-Aid on, putting a Band-Aid on, putting a Band-Aid on. Which is what inner healing does. It just goes deep. It goes deep. It heals the heart. It heals the wound. So then you're actually authentically able to forgive, and that thing no longer has a hold on you. Amen? Come on, somebody. All right. Thank you, Jesus. So I believe if you practice these six spiritual disciplines on a regular basis, you'll experience peace with God and others. You'll remain in hope. You'll view your future through the lens of expectation and joy. Who wants some of that? Yeah, me. I want some of that. And these disciplines will act as a shield around your heart in the day of battle. That's what these six steps are for. Stillness and reflection, physical rest, expressing creativity, building relationships with others, being in community, assuming the best of others, taking your thoughts captives, forgive and receive inner healing from past hurts. With these steps, you will be able to guard your heart. And this is not an exhaustive list. There are many, many more things you can do to guard your heart. But these are just a few practical steps you can do tomorrow and wake up with the Lord, and you will have your heart guarded in him. Amen? All right, let's all stand. I want to pray for you. And if the ministry team would come on up. Maybe we could get some keys. I don't know. Pastor Gail, thank you so much. Yes, if you're a second or third year student in the School of Ministry, come on up. Sorry, second year graduates and third years. Sorry for that confusion. All right, now, I just love the Lord, and I believe that he was speaking to many of you in this room. There was probably at least one, two, maybe three things that you're like, yeah, I'm going to apply that this week. I'm going to see, I need to see fruit in my life. I need to take this back. I need to take this area of my life back. I believe that there's one, two, maybe three things that you feel like the Lord wants you to do. And then I also feel this. That I was talking about unforgiveness, that there may have been some of you in here that felt, okay, yep, I need to deal with that. I've been running. I need to deal with that. That person, that thing, that memory that popped up in your head when I was talking, that needs to be dealt with. And today is your opportunity to be free from that thing, to be free from that sickness, to be free from that torment. And there's a prayer line up here who's able and willing to help you walk through those things, to help deliver you, to help set you free. And I just want to pray for you right now. Actually, if we would all pray this together, you can just close your eyes, lift your hands to Jesus, say, Lord, I thank you that you speak to my heart and you speak to my mind. And I ask if there be anything that I need freedom from, you would reveal it to me. And if you saw something or you heard something and you want freedom from that thing, go ahead and come on up. Come on up to the front. These ministers will pray with you and help you and encourage you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, and for the rest of you, I'm just going to pray a blessing. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray for your saints, your sons and daughters, that as they leave today, they would be blessed. You would guard and keep them. Your face would shine upon them, and you would give them peace. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you so much for watching. I hope you're blessed and encouraged. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel for more amazing content.